think you are.
Of Who Do You Think You Are, a podcast where we get creative, funny people to talk about what their lives look like at the moment. This week we have a very special guest, someone very close to my heart. She's an opera singer, one of the best.
Can you use a code name, please?
No.
Please.
No. Why would that? That doesn't mean... No one's going to know you anyway.
Everybody
she's not famous.
Has heard of this podcast, and they watch it nightly.
Don't condescend to me. You don't watch a podcast.
Breaking news. Podcast on.
Her name is Ariana Stoltz.
Okay, that's not
that's
true.
Not a code name.
It's not a code
that
name. It's a real name. You can look her up.
Her actual name is Amy Clark. Yeah. Okay, anyway, sorry, go on.
I'm Amy Clark.
I'm China Fry.
I'm Andrew Martin.
Okay, and... You screwed me up.
No,
I always mess up the introduction. Okay, we're going to start with something called Pie Chart of the Mind. For those of you who don't know what that is, basically if what you're thinking about recently were distributed into a pie chart form, should learn how to talk about data better. What thoughts would take up what segment of the pie chart?
Can you explain first?
We're going to go through ours first.
In graphic detail what a pie chart is before we begin.
Do you know, it just percentages.
Not all of us went to math school, so...
Don't do it.
I'm just saying, you know, it's going to be really difficult if you just leave us all out all the time.
Okay, Ariana, fine. Okay, Ariana and I went to high school together and middle school, and she likes to torment me. This is going to be a weird episode. Okay.
It's going to be wonderful. Just think Rick and Morty, but on drugs.
No, that's
you get
awful.
It?
That sounds
Rick
awful.
Rick Morty is already on drugs. Okay, sorry. Anyways.
Never watched it.
Yeah, don't. No. You can't start now because it's too much of a thing.
Yeah, I'm not in. I won't be starting.
Beautiful. Okay.
Anyways. Okay. We'll go first. Does someone want to go?
Andrew.
All right. I'll go. Mine is maybe not a great example to start with because mine's, I'm going to say 95% I'm just thinking about and that there are like avenues within this. But working on a new project, China and I are.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, a little, like a first short film, like a legitimate thing that we're gonna have a budget for. And, like,
whoa!
Yeah, and take
some
time with.
We've got spreadsheets going. Yeah.
What?
Well, what kind of short film?
A short horror film.
Oh my gosh!
You guys.
Me?
Not you. You're safe.
Wow.
But yeah, because I've been planning on doing this since. Basically, since Lancashire came, because I wanted to do, because I got a short horror film produced last year that I had written, but it was like directed and made by other people. So I was kind of like, okay, I want to do like, I'll have like the really like, nice one that I didn't do, you know, and then I want to have like the super like low budget indie one that is like totally mine.
Yeah.
So yeah, and so
have you written
like,
it?
Yeah, it's written.
How
so,
long
yeah.
ago did
you won't
you
tell
write
me
it?
Anything about it.
Wait, oh, are you not done with it, or
I just won't talk about like content of it too much too. So,
China has done all the spreadsheets for it, but she does not know the content.
Yeah, that's right.
Legally, not only legally, but logistically possible. I don't understand.
Yeah, I think you can know like the it's like separated from the story is the. As long as, I guess I don't know any, like, locations. If we had to book locations and things, I don't have that yet. But we're starting with equipment and maybe hiring a lighting and sound person.
Yeah, or, like, some kind of, like, crew and stuff. Yeah, we're taking it seriously.
Oh
like, want to make it good.
Wow. Why won't you
China,
tell
are
her?
You going to star in it?
Yeah.
Why won't you tell her what it is? Is there, like, a wedding proposal inside of it? Sorry, I'm harping on that so much tonight because you guys are so beautiful. I'm so sorry. If you guys could see them, let me tell you, oh, my God.
I would,
from the set, from the onset.
Most people listening probably have seen both China and Andrew.
Oh, really?
Probably.
I thought you guys had, like, millions of viewers. Amy told me you guys were already famous in, like, Japan.
Well, yeah.
That's the only reason
we're
I
maybe. That's how I had to get you here.
Okay, but anyways.
But
that's
cool. So, yeah, that's, like, that's all I've been thinking about, even at work and stuff. It's like, I'm just thinking about that and watching. YouTube videos and trying to, like, teach myself how to, like, because that's a big thing. It's, like, I don't know much about, like, the technical side of that. I don't know, lenses and like lighting and sound stuff. So this is like, that's the real goal of it, is like to get better at that kind of thing and learn. But yeah.
Are you trying to get it out for Halloween?
Yeah. 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 We want to like, we got on the spread, another spreadsheet, like festivals and stuff that we're going to submit it to when it's done. It's like,
oh my gosh,
following through.
Wow.
Make it happen. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
When did you start?
Start writing it?
Or the whole process, yeah, with training and everything.
It just got kicked in, because I've had the idea for a while, and then it just got kicked into gear, like, within, like, the past couple weeks, 3 weeks ago or so, was when I really started, like, buckling down, and like, okay, we're finally doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So that's 95%, and then 5% Celeste, that video game that I was talking about
last
week.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
No, I haven't. That's kind of what I was going to think about, because it's a wonderful game. I've got a Nintendo Switch that I love a lot. And talk about too much on here.
What is the Switch?
It's Nintendo's newest like console, and it's the cool thing about it is it's portable, so it's like a console that you like can plug into your TV, but then you can pick up and it's like
you put it in your car.
Yeah, yeah, bring it in your car, bring it on the subway,
it's
and
like
play.
It's like virtual reality for your car.
Why would it be virtual reality?
He said you get portable.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
A Game
the screen
Boy.
Is portable.
Oh,
what do you think that means? I thought it was like go in your dreams, like you know. When
that's
you're
right. That's what you think when you hear
I don't
portable.
Know. Google Maps today, first time ever, put Mario as the car for when you're driving,
Mario Kart.
And it made me start thinking of like, oh my god, they should make this a fucking thing, and then like people can drive around LA and just make everybody's lives worse by just like adding to the traffic by making it like a game that you can fucking play.
That would be so dangerous.
It'd be so dangerous. It would be wonderful though. Anyways,
I think there's like I think augmented reality is like in that direction.
Oh,
like
yeah.
With yeah
very dangerous.
Pokemon Go and stuff. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
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 And you do you ever see those tourist companies that give you go-karts and then you dress up as Mario characters?
No.
That was it. We saw those in Tokyo.
Wow. That's great.
With like cardboard cars?
No, real go-karts, and you drive around the streets of the city.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
oh,
great.
That's psycho. That's incredible. That's very so dangerous. Wow.
But I think it was okay.
So we just went go-kart. Have you guys been go-karting?
Never.
Yeah, once.
We just went last year for our friend's birthday, and it's a blast. It's
really fun.
So much fun.
But isn't it also very dangerous?
It's scary. I was going so slow that the guy asked me if I didn't want. He said, do you not want to go fast? I was like, I guess not. This is the speed of
oh my god.
It's just like driving a normal car, but more stressful.
Yeah. It is, because you're getting hit in the back and like on the sides, and like it's no wonder they have that like warning sign where they're like, if you have any ailment, like even if you have a sniffle, they're like, don't get in a go-kart. Because it will turn into, like, pneumonia. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty... you got, like, a helmet. You got cushions on the side.
What about the flu, you know?
Okay, yeah. I think
that's true. Safe. They need a face mask.
I think what threw me off about it was that there was, like, a sign that said no bumping into walls or other drivers. And I was like, well, I better go real safe and in the line.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like,
wait. No bumping into other drivers at go-karts.
Yeah.
That was the sign said, but me and Kyle were bumping into each other.
I think that's kind of what you're supposed to do, right?
Isn't that the definition of why people play that game?
Yeah.
But it's
like adult
super
bumper
fast and indoor and an indoor track, so.
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
Oh, I've done that. There was this girl, she was like her sweet 16.
Orly?
Mitzvah. Yes.
Yeah, I was there.
Okay, well, don't say
she doesn't know when I...
Anyways, we went on it. It was super legit. It was, like, absolutely amazing. Like, I felt like I was on cocaine for the first time.
Hmm. Yeah. She had a thing. We had a limo take us there.
Wow.
Do you remember this? In the limo, she was controlling the music, and she would skip songs after 20 seconds.
Oh, I hate
it
that.
Drove me crazy.
Well, because she was so eager to please. You know, you're
that
at that phase
nobody.
In your life where you're just like, oh, I love this song. Yeah, but I've got another one that I know you'll like. You know, like, everybody went through that phase, I feel like.
I didn't.
Until it became cool, you know, for you to listen to the whole album and listen to the whole song, you know.
That's not a thing that became cool.
But it was like the height. Like, we used to, you know, because...
Don't defend her.
It's a single. Like, we have singles now instead of, like, you know, full albums and stuff like that. So we've been losing the art of having something for a long period of time.
This is a different argument.
And I feel
I buy that argument, but also we've got singles forever. They would release singles.
But like now there's really like, you know, it's like what you do. People don't put out like full albums.
Yeah,
that is true. Songs.
And that they like make albums around singles now. It's like you make the single and then you have like filler. Whereas before it's like the album was like an achievement or whatever. Yeah, yeah. I buy that.
I think thank you for buying it. I feel like I was saved and I was like in Monopoly or something. I don't know. Anyways. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, I was annoyed.
I buy that
I'd
too.
I'd be annoyed too. Yeah.
You were annoyed. You were there.
I was annoyed. Yeah, you correct me, please.
Celeste. Celeste is just a game for the Nintendo Switch, and I love it. It's a great game. It has overstayed its welcome, is the one thing. It's like one level too long. That's I'm very like critical
of games.
The big
boss or something at the very end?
That's the big problem, actually, is that you beat the big boss in the seventh level, and then the eighth level is kind of like supposed to be like a victory lap or whatever, and it like plays like like rousing, like exciting, triumphant music. But then the level is still super hard and super long, so it's like I feel like I'm getting like teased that you know it's like, and that music gets it gets really obnoxious, like hearing like triumphant music as you're dying over and over and over again.
Oh my god, that's existential.
Yeah.
Who is this written by?
That's some indie developers out of Seattle.
There you go. That's your answer as to why there's no real exit.
But yeah, it's still fun, and it's just like that's a. It'd be like, like a book ending and then still going on for like 100 pages, you know?
Yeah. Like Gone with the Wind.
Oh, yeah. Does it do that?
Mm-hmm. Groups of Wrath. Why didn't they die in the first 50 pages, you know?
Yes.
They were starving for 500 pages. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I get it.
Moby Dick.
Shit was tough, you know? Yeah, exactly.
I think Moby Dick. I think it ends pretty immediately after the whale dies.
Okay, guys. We don't have a point.
Harry Potter. He could have died
just fucking died from Voldemort.
Yeah.
God.
It's not too long. I think my argument has been skewed here.
You're like, thanks, guys, for your help.
Not advocating for every protagonist to die in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But.
What are these?
Our kumquats.
Are these edible? Is like the outside edible?
I don't know. I picked them today, but should I think they're underripe.
You picked them?
Yeah, they're at the tree in my front yard.
Wow. The lemons too, or the
lemons too.
Wow.
Do you think I should try?
I would be wary. I wouldn't try it.
I think they're underripe.
Underripe? They're yellow.
Aren't they
kumquats are supposed to be orange? Fuck. Thank you. Mm. I could have just died right now.
You could have done.
That's my 100%.
Cool.
Nice.
Yep. China's turn.
Oh, my turn. I don't have a. I don't have a ton this week. I'm really tired. I'll preface that. It's because I would say probably 50% is that my cousin came. He came in on Saturday, and I just took him back to the airport today. Aww. It was really, really fun. Mm-hmm. We had a great time. We did things that I hadn't done before. Like, went to the knockoff wax museum, I realized.
What is the knockoff?
Well, there's the Hollywood wax museum, and there's Madame...
Tussauds?
Yeah.
Were they, like, half-melted or something? Knockoff?
No, I mean, they were still good, which is why I ended up paying $20 to go into the knockoff version before realizing that there was the real version. But it doesn't really matter.
Wait, which is the real and which is the knockoff?
Madame Tussauds is, like, the famous one.
Oh, okay.
It's right by the Chinese theater.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
The wax museum is, like, 2 blocks down. I didn't know any better.
Oh, it's so funny that, because they went, we were driving by for something, and... China like pointed out like, oh, there's the wax museum, we could go to that sometime. I was like, well, that's not the real one, like Madame Tussauds is like further down this way. And then when I was at work the next day, they went to the fake one thinking it was the real one, the one I had just pointed out, and said that's not the real one.
I thought you were wrong.
I just didn't believe you.
That's so great.
I've decided you're lying.
Silly Andrew.
Yeah,
why would the Hollywood wax museum be the knockoff?
Exactly. That's what I thought. Then I looked up like, yeah, and the next day I looked up Hollywood Wax Museum, and that was the thing that popped up. I was like, oh, no, he was wrong. He was thinking about something else. but I mean, it's like it's a wax museum, so I don't think we missed too much. Maybe we really did, but I don't think we did.
I've never been to the real one. Have you guys been to Madame Tussauds?
Fuck no.
One of them. Like, because they have them all over the world.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I gotta say, like, even when it looks a lot like the celebrity, you're still like,
Yeah.
You're like... Yeah, it's just
wonderful.
It's just that celebrity.
This is my 23rd wax, of Amy Clark. Great. Thank you for making your own museum.
Are you talking about the museum I made for myself? It's 23.
From what I'm talking about, Amy.
Don't bring that up.
Okay, well, now everybody knows. Okay.
This is retribution.
It's at 14th and Pico. Everybody, if you're interested, it's in the gas station in the back. Just ask for Tony.
It's called 23andMe.
Nice.
Yes. 23andMe. Wow. Look at that shit. Oh my God. Beautiful.
Yeah. Yes. So, I don't think I have anything more to say about the Wax Museum.
Hmm. So, but go to Madame Tussauds, maybe, over
I can't recommend that. I just know that's the, like,
yeah.
The famous one.
That's the legitimate one. Yeah. Don't go to the Hollywood Wax Museum, is what we're trying to say.
You know, I feel like people who, like, have lived in L.A. haven't ever gone to any of the tourist places. And that's the thing. Like, the only time I ever go to tourist places is when somebody from out of town reminds me, oh, maybe I should see the Griffith Observatory, like one of the most beautiful observatories, like, in the fucking world.
Yeah.
You know, or the Hollywood sign for that matter, because I'm a fucking West Sider and, like, don't leave 10 minutes outside of my house ever, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's incredible, though.
Yeah.
I should tag along with you guys every once in a while.
You're doing tourist stuff. It's a good way to see L.A.
Yes.
Like, there's so much that I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't ever go here. We were in Beverly Hills. And I was like, I've never been up here before.
Yeah, I did.
Which is cool. I mean,
do you go to, like, Rodeo Drive?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're their own little islands.
Yeah.
And they like it that way.
Yeah. And I was like, there's so much space.
Yeah.
These roads are huge. Why are they so huge?
Because everything is just perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
They like it.
Yeah. But it is interesting. And I think it's, like, it's always good when people visit, because then I sort of can take their notes and be like, okay, next time someone else visits, and these are the things that they like doing. And so Cade's were the Griffith Observatory, which if you go at night, it truly is, like, beautiful, a great experience. An improv show. And he went to the Paramount Studio Tour, which I've never done.
Whoa!
He said it was fun.
Did you do Universal Studios?
Nope.
No.
Oh.
Because talking to him about, like, what he was, like, hoping to get out of it, it was, he'd be better off going to a different
one. Oh, cool. The Paramount one is, I've never been.
Yeah, well, I mean, because, like, the Universal Studio Tour, you're on a tour on a huge bus with 200 people. And the Paramount Studio Tour, he got his own little, like, VIP pass thing. And there were only 7 other people on the tour with him.
You had to pay, like, $1,200 for that little VIP pass, right?
No.
Oh.
I mean, I think it was...
Oh, they made me pay that much. This fucking bastard.
Yeah. Did you even get a tour?
Yeah, they got me Tony. They were like, put these virtual reality, you know, goggles on. And then they just kept me in a room for an hour.
Yeah, you went to the wrong Paramount Studios.
You went to the knockoff Wax Museum.
Yeah, you went to the Hollywood Paramount
Everybody,
Studios.
Everybody, you know, I wouldn't want to feel left out, and I was really embarrassed, so I just, like, kept saying, like,
yeah, you're
totally,
like, this is cool.
Oh my God, I fucking love that show.
Mm-hmm. All knockoff shows that
with the saliva dripping down your back, right? No? Yeah, no, me neither. You know, like that.
Ariana has a tendency for, like, sometimes making a joke that's like, that makes sense in the like context of the conversation, and then she'll say one thing too far,
and everybody's balls
just will stop. You see, like that.
Oh my God! Yeah,
yeah.
It's bad.
And then, but then she'll keep going. She doubles down.
I do. Take us all with us. Yeah.
Yeah, everyone has to go along on her ride.
All right. Well, if that's 50% of my pie chart, the other 50% is, now I'm tired. Like, a long...
Yeah, it's, you know, a long, it's weekend.
Like, yeah, people coming to visit, it's like, yeah, we're, like, packing in. I'm, like, packing in my own vacation in the city that I live in.
Yeah.
And now I'm, like, ready to sleep.
Right. Hosting people is...
And you have to be on all the time whenever you have people around. Like, I had somebody come from New York, like, 2 weekends ago, and literally, like, 1 p.m., and they had just gotten in that morning at, like, 9 a.m., and I was like, do you want to take a nap now? And they were like, dude, we just had breakfast. Like, that's it. You know, like, brunch. I was like, yeah. Like, now we nap.
Right. I want to, like, live my normal life.
I have left. And you just want to, like, watch some television on Facebook for an hour. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I do. Welcome to Santa Monica. You know? This is the greatest right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Avoid the crowds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's my 100%.
Cool. Mine is, I think, probably like 80% politics in general. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 80%. And then
wait, like what?
Just hang on, I'm going into it. Within that, I've been doing a lot of reading about. So there's a few things. We're doing a lot of reading about like the LA housing crisis, and specifically like NIMBY. Do you know NIMBY?
No.
NIMBY is this coalition stands for Not in My Backyard, and it's these people who are against like new development generally. Mm-hmm. Like we want to keep the city that is. And then there's also another group called YIMBY, which yes, in my backyard, who are like very pro development.
Which one came first?
NIMBY. So NIMBY is like a pretty famous, I don't know when that like specific acronym arose, but there have always been people who were like, let's keep the city as it is. We don't want new people moving. It's very like anti, it's very like pro, like keeping rich white people in your city.
Oh, okay. I couldn't tell if that was like, you know, we hate gentrification or if it's like Beverly Hills not wanting a metro. I literally couldn't read it based off of that.
It's acronym. Beverly Hills not wanting a metro. It's like Beverly Hills wanting to keep lot sizes huge.
Yeah.
And then YIMBY is the opposite of that, which like seems like, okay, that's good. They're very pro-development. But then I was reading these articles about how like actually a lot of people who were just like, let's build more and that will solve the housing crisis is like what ends up happening is that developers just build luxury apartments.
Yeah.
And then there's no,
right.
And no one can afford.
Yeah.
Them. You listen to There Goes the Neighborhood.
Yes. Yeah. Right. And it just like, that whole thing is really interesting, and I think LA is like, there's so many issues in LA in terms of like the housing crisis. And I was like, oh, YIMBY, that sounds interesting. And then I feel like sometimes I like go and find a cool leftist thing and be like, that sounds fun, then cool and positive. And then like they'll read a critique on it and be like, oh no, now I can't like that thing. And then I'll read a critique on that thing. And it's just hard to find something that's, I guess, objectively good.
Yeah.
So what is the group? Like, what is the socioeconomic group? If we know that NIMBY is like the Beverly Hills, who are the people behind YIMBY?
YIMBY tend to be millennials. They tend to skew like white male gentrifiers, actually. So they tend to be people who are like...
Yeah, I was going
to
say, both of these sound like shit.
Yeah.
Neither one of them sounds like they're for people who are like struggling.
Right. And another thing that this one article brought up, which I thought was a great point, was that like, making a coalition like YIMBY is great, but there are already so many organizations dedicated to building more affordable housing or just like stopping people from getting priced out of neighborhoods. And like, it feels like a very like white person thing to do to come in and be like, but what about my cool new idea?
Yeah.
Screw you guys, let's build more stuff. Yeah. Which is like, yeah, has been shown to like not actually be as effective as like building specifically affordable housing.
Yeah, that's what you need. I was just reading the other day about these 800 square foot, $4,000 3D printed homes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they can like, build this house in less than 24 hours.
I literally saw a fucking video of that on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
See?
Cool.
Facebook coming in clutch with their TV shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Go.
Yeah, it's super interesting, and I know it's not like even any plans for that to come to the U.S. right away, but it's like, yeah, man, that's what we need.
Yeah, like stuff like that. I think where because I feel like it's just really easy for people to be like, we want more housing, and everyone's like, that sounds like it should be a good thing, but then you don't, you know, like these people actually are working with developers, and they're not explicitly saying we need more affordable housing.
Right. That's it's like, when was the last time you saw an apartment go up in LA that was like...
Right, just a normal apartment.
Yeah, just
a
normal apartment, yeah.
Yeah, and it's difficult because, you know, developers are trying to be conscientious, and then they're paid more money to make it more luxury, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
And they're like, okay, well, how am I going to say no to this? Because this would, you know, make all of us get like 20% more income, you know, if we made this more expensive. And
there's demand for it too.
Yeah.
And they find loopholes in the fact that whenever you're making housing in LA, you have to have an affordable section of apartments. Mm-hmm. You know, it's similar, I think. New York or something?
There are those rules, but it's like
they
the term
loopholes
of, they find loopholes, and the term affordable can be like really
and that's
like
a loophole,
like
exactly.
Fluid based on where you are.
Right.
Like in a lot of places you still have to, you would have to be making $50,000 a year to afford affordable housing,
right, instead of three
normal
people together making $50,000
a
year.
Exactly. Yeah, so there's that. And then another thing I've been listening to, this podcast called Citations Needed, which I would highly recommend. This is my first, the first like podcast I've subscribed to on Patreon.
Oh, wow.
It's so, so good. It's about how like language is used in politics to like manipulate people and obscure the truth. And it's like such a cool, I love thinking about the politics of language. And this, every episode just goes into like, just like kind of words and phrases we hear tossed around all the time, but are actually that have been like co-opted by different groups and the way that we're like, that information is hidden from us based on those phrases. And the one I was listening to today was about the hashtag Veterans for Gun Control. Mm. And they just had this really interesting point about how, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but like a lot of people have been posting images of like them when they were serving overseas with like a, I don't know, M16 or whatever rifle they use, and then saying like this gun belongs in Iraq, or it belongs in the Middle East in a war zone, but it doesn't belong in America or in the hands of children, which is on the surface a really good point, but then there's also like, it kind of makes you assume that war is A, good, and B, that like the people of Iraq or Afghanistan or whatever country like do deserve to have those kind of like weapons around them, which I thought was interesting. And that whole, yeah, just like the
do you,
way.
Do you think that's what he was truly, that was truly insinuated? Like in
no,
that?
Well, it's not truly, it's not, I don't think any veteran is like, I think that like people in the Middle East deserve to die.
Yeah, I don't
know. No,
so
but that's
either.
Not, the point is that by proliferating that language, that's the, this like undertone that is like subtly
and maybe
conveyed.
It's taken over.
Right, and it's
like,
co-opted by the right.
Retweeted.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it just kind of embeds in everybody's mind like that. So like subconsciously you're kind of like, yeah, that's right. And then,
yeah. And the way that we like idolize veterans to an extent that's like, if you speak out against war, you're speaking out against veterans. Or if you speak out against
so
anything. Yeah.
It's crazy to me that like when people talk about just like the United States budget, the military budget doesn't come up very often.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why? And I think that's the thing that even Democrats are afraid to suggest, you know, reigning in the military a bit because it seems not patriotic. Or
yeah,
not,
right. It's very
really,
much tied to like patriotism, nationalism. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's crazy.
And specifically American, like, values. I think it's becoming really rooted into us.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't had, like, a non-militant military for decades, I feel like. You
I don't
know?
Know if we've ever, yeah. I mean, yeah.
You know, I feel like since World War I and World War II, it's just been so progressively, aggressively forward.
Mm-hmm.
Of military, but then again, I have no idea before then.
Yeah, I don't know if it's ever been. I mean, I feel like just like the military is very much tied to like patriotism and this like, I think there's just like a very American way that we use the word freedom, and that's like another interesting thing is like freedom.
Yeah.
You know, like this very conditional freedom that we all like just accept is like basic freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so a lot of that. But yeah, seriously, listen to this podcast.
Yeah,
it
sounds great.
Really incredible. Yeah, and they just like, it just feels like, to use a term borrowed from Pisha last week, it feels like you're peeking behind the curtain a little bit. But you don't even have to do ayahuasca. Yeah, you missed some crazy stuff. Pisha.
Who's
She's
Pisha?
On our improv team.
Yep.
She was
oh, former cool. guest.
Former
yeah.
guest. Friend of the
pod. Friend
of
the pod, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hello.
She can hear
you. Hear me?
She's in there. In the
blink
mic.
Twice if you need help out of
what
the
would
snowball.
Be blinking? The snowball?
That's blinking.
Or there's a little red light.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
The red light
would blink. There you go. Okay. I'll be watching.
But it's not.
I'll
be very creepy if it happens.
It's like very Black Mirror.
Once everybody's left, don't worry. I'll keep it on. I'll wait. I'll watch.
This is real quick, but the politics of language thing, because I was just thinking about today, I like wound up being involved in a super long conversation with like the most hardcore Trump supporter that I've ever met.
Interesting.
Yeah.
When?
It was someone who works at my work.
Oh.
Yeah. It was crazy. It was like he was like bot level of like
really
yeah, like gun control and everything.
Like, I'm from Russia.
Yeah. It was wild. But and he like mentioned several times during it, fake news, you know, he's like, oh, well, that's just fake news. And that, like, hearing, because you just hear so much, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
But when I actually remember, like, where that came from, that, right. like, makes me sick, is, like, that was fucking our word. Yeah. That was, like, liberals' words for, like, half a day, where it was, like, a legitimate thing that was, like, yeah. an actual, like, term that was mm-hmm. used to describe something, and now they've just, like, co-opted yeah. it, and now it's their most powerful weapon is
right. the term fake news. Right, and they can say news. That, and the argument's over.
Exactly, there's nothing you yeah. can do.
And it's actually insane how good the right is at co-opting any yeah. phrase and yeah. twisting the meaning until we just can't use it anymore.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're becoming the official trolls, you know?
Yeah.
It's really interesting. There's actually this, like, computer competition right now out to these, like computer software writers and coders where they're giving them, like, thousands of dollars if they can figure out how to code trolls on Reddit or trolls in the comment section so that they can just be flagged immediately because yeah. they're like, this is a legitimate issue and mm-hmm. like the level of just like hatred and anger and just like bigotry that is just being spouted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and now in like, I feel like since Trump's election, we now have this whole concept of these bots that are just systemically doing this, you know, and to know mm-hmm. how much of this is actually just a computer, which is what made them think like, well, if computer's making it, how do we find an algorithm against that other computer, you know? So yeah. it's totally interesting. I don't even know how we got there. What were we talking about?
We're talking about the farmer's market.
Shut up. You know I believe you. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it is really, it's interesting. It's an interesting time.
And it's, yeah, and it, like, says so much in a bad way about actual, like, Trump supporters, like, real human being Trump supporters, that it's, like, yeah. you're so, like, yeah. we can't tell you apart from bots who are yeah. programmed to be racist.
Because they're just so repetitive in their arguments, yeah. because that's all they have. It's, like, you yeah. can't dig any deeper. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is what a bot does.
Yeah.
I also love the bots who, like, show up on Twitter comments, like, I'm a black, queer, Muslim woman, and I support Trump. yeah. You can't prove that they're not, but right. yeah, and then probably like 15% of my mind is about to, this will be one of the last things we'll talk about this. Kyle's moving to North Carolina for 7 months at the end of the month.
Oh my
gosh, shit. Yeah. So I'm like kind of sad, but very proud of him, but also just yeah. like thinking about there's not that much time left and he's been in New York all week on work, for work. So it feels very like I have to keep my room tidy now and stuff and like live in it. Yeah. So, yeah, just trying to think about, like, I guess...
The future. You're going to move to North Carolina?
Absolutely not.
Become a housewife?
No.
Making burgers every day?
No.
Oh, that's what you told me right before this podcast.
No, I have... This is my liberal persona.
podcast. I'm so sorry. See, that's why, because you gave me the real name, and now it's on the podcast. It's me getting you back.
That's true. That's fair. Yeah. 5%, I sprained my ankle today.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I couldn't believe that's only 5%.
No, I guess I didn't sprain it. I just, like, did something to it while I was exercising.
I just tore it in half.
This is not my real foot.
Yeah.
Was this during the YouTube video?
It was during, and I had to stop, and so I didn't get a very good workout in. But I think it's just because I literally haven't done consistent workouts ever in my life before. And
represent.
Yeah. So I think it's just like I've been doing it and probably I just have bad form.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, I feel like that's the pattern you follow is like you pick it up after not having to do it and done it in a while. You're sore. But then you get motivated and you do it like 2 or 3 weeks or whatever. And then like the actual like injuries start.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I think I need to like maybe get a trainer to tell me what I'm doing wrong.
Maybe just like go to a few like actual Pilates classes and then you sort of know like yeah. where your form might be off and then go back to the videos.
That's a good idea. Yeah. But I was just like, man, good job.
Yeah, it's the same thing, except it's the thing that keeps me from going to the gym is how much I'm scared that all the gym goers are going to judge me on my bad form, and it stops me from going to the gym in the first place. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
that's my excuse for why I don't show up to the gym.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel that.
Yeah.
Especially in LA. You
need someone to go with.
Yeah.
If you don't go to, like, a super ritzy gym, I feel like...
That's true.
Most of the time people are, like... Because truly, it's, like... Because I felt that way before, too. But I think that's just... my own self being like, oh, oh yeah, was, mm-hmm. actually people are just doing
that. Yeah, no, I was kidding.
It's like, yeah, we go to the 24-hour fitness in Koreatown, and mm-hmm. it's just like, oh man, no matter how badly I was like lifting this bar, it's like nothing compared to some of the insane shit people are doing around.
Amazing. Like, wow, that's a great gym to go to.
Yeah, it's really fun. Yeah. There's a guy wearing like jeans, just socks, and then like a t-shirt, and running on the treadmill, and like taking his shoes off and putting them aside, and you see like people in full like work clothes, like business clothes, like
they're getting in time for their workout no matter what.
Yeah, power to them.
That's really impressive. All right, it's your turn.
Oh God, I've been dreading this day. You know, I don't know how to break it down. I mean, it's like 100% anxiety, and then there's formats of anxiety that are subsections of the 100%.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I've been having like my master's recital coming up for the last like 3 months. Imagine just having one massive deadline, you know, and
it's one concert.
Yeah, it's just one concert. I literally feel, I mean, obviously it's not this level, but like the Olympics were happening, I was like, that's me right there. And my mom's like, yeah, that's funny. No, absolutely not. But you know, like those people literally spend 4 years and then they go down like a hill of snow in 46 seconds. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, you lost by 0.1 seconds.
Mm.
And you're like,
right.
Just give me the fucking
that's your whole
point
life.
One. You know, make me tie for third. My mom's watching. Mm. But like everybody's mom's watching, dude. You know?
Yeah. So how fast do you have to ski down your proverbial hill?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's just, I've been having difficulty seeing that foresight when you have something that's like on your planner that's like a big deal.
So you're going to school for...
What's yeah, so major? I actually finished my classes last semester, but I've been doing outside of school, which has also made it extremely difficult because I'm outside of that super hive mind, like active mindset of like wake up at 10 a.m. I've got music classes and I've got chorus and then I've got solo stuff and then I've got opera rehearsal, you know, where you're always thinking about it anyways. And like I'm out of school, you know, I'm doing other things that are making money. Like you start getting all these questions in your mind, and you're like, what is a degree worth anyways? You know, like I spent 3 years working on it, but like I don't need that degree. Yeah. You know? Like those like little thoughts have been creeping up into my head. But it's interesting, I've really pulled through, and so it's coming up in a little bit over a week, and I'm finally seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Like, let me tell you, it's really wonderful.
What will it actually like look like? Is it like what's your final?
It's an hour long concert. Okay. Yeah, that you do in like a recital hall at USC. And it's really interesting. You know, I apparently picked music that isn't normal. I mean, in hindsight, that makes sense of like who I am, you know, but like I thought it was just cool music and they would be like, oh, good, you're on the right track. And then they're like, why did you pick a piece that is a violin being broken in half and you filling it with pudding? You know, I'm like,
yeah,
I didn't know that wasn't. What you want.
Because your level of base reality is so off from anyone else's.
Exactly.
That for you, what is an experiment, or for in the normal world, what's an experimental piece is like what you sing in your mornings when you
exactly.
wake up.
Exactly. And so it's just been all twisted, like my concept of just like what I should be holding on to as my basic instincts has been out the window. But anyways, so besides that though, let's see. I don't know.
Sorry, one more question. So is it just you on stage? Just you
singing? And my pianist.
Okay. And then is it like full audience or is it just like the professors or judges or whatever?
You know, I've been trying to not get the word out. It's technically for, you know, the public.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I'm going to go.
Yeah, it's your master's.
Yeah. It's so funny. It's just like, you know, because the opera world is so intense and it's so competitive. It's like ballet. There's like 1% spots for all the ballerinas that are in the world, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you're just like constantly like criticized and belittled and like nuance of how can you make things better? And you have to be in like peak tip-top shape, like, all the time, like, audition this weekend, performance this weekend, you know, schmooze with these people, always have, you know, you can't, like, drink or, like, stay out late or talk loud, you know, and it's just, like, you always feel like you have to be on. And so, wait, how did I get to this? Why was I...
Farmer's market.
Stop it! I want to go home. Wait, how did we get there? Amy, help me. What did we say?
The public, it was like a public performance.
Yeah, I don't even know, you don't seem lost. You haven't gone on a tangent.
I'm so confident, like, with the direction I'm going. You're like, you've made your own path.
Yeah.
You're not on the wrong track, technically. No, it's just been, like, a lot of... trying to get it all together in the last minute and still trying to keep my head in that really focused mindset the way that you do when you're still in school, but I'm kind of out of school right now. So that's what it's been. And it's just felt like a long haul, and I'm excited. I'm excited for it to be over.
I got so many questions.
Yes, please.
That's a quick one. Is there any element of it that's like, just have fun?
Well, technically, like, in the theory books of ancient history of, like, what music school and conservatories in general were supposed to be when you heard about it when you were a kid, you know, but, like, it has been 10 years and they're still telling me, keep going,
you know,
I promise it'll get better, you know. But it that's the thing, is that your standard just keeps raising, and you keep thinking it's around the bend. And yes, you're making things, but, like, you're just like, at what cost? Like, I haven't talked to my friends in months. I haven't seen friends in months. I haven't laughed at, like, you know, just shooting the shit for a long time, you know? And it really tolls on you. Oh, that's what I was going to say about, like, you know, feeling like you have to be in this, like, tip-top performance all the time, is that I don't know if I necessarily want that as my lifestyle. I don't know when I chose a music degree that's what I was looking for. And I'm getting a master's in it. I'm very grateful. It was an incredible experience. I learned so much. I might take some time off, though. I might reconsider it in a year or so from a different side, maybe composition or working, just singing in a band, or, like, you know, just, like, doing collaborative stuff with classical contemporary composers. Who knows? Maybe I'll never come back to it, you know?
Because otherwise, would you be, like, auditioning as soon as you
Yeah, I mean,
left?
It's constant auditions. Like, I had an audition, like, 2 weeks ago, you know, and I did a performance this morning for this committee, you know. I mean, it's just, you know, constant fluidity of just, like, how you have to base the rest of your life around these, like, absolute, like, iceberg deadlines, you know. I really don't think I was made for that. As much as I can enjoy an opera, it's just, like, at some point you're like, yeah, opera's beautiful. I'm all right at singing, and I'm fine at just being good at it, you know? But, like, there are people who have, since they were a child, wanted to be, like, opera singers.
That's so crazy.
You know? It's insane. Well, their parents were singers, and they grew up, you know, being in the children's choir in New York, and, like, it's just, like, in their genes and their roots, you know? And I just wasn't there. I was never there. I was like, yeah, I'm along for the ride. I like the music. It's fun. But it's not being fun. And I think I know a lot of people who are in intense conservatories, and they're going through that, and we're trying to grapple with finding the joy of it again. It's a really big thing. I have a couple friends from Juilliard. It's just a, you know, and I think people from the outside world, they're like, oh, Juilliard? Well, you must love it. It's Juilliard. And it's just... No, it's really painful, like a genuine painful, not like, oh, my life is so difficult, I go to jail. It's like, no, like, it's just ostracizing, you know, and just constantly practicing, you know. Anyways.
Have you seen Whiplash?
Yes, and it's very close to home. It's just super close to home. So I think a lot of people go through that. I think I'm going through my own format of that. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, that was really long.
No, oh, that's great.
It's
fascinating.
It's about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
It is.
It is you, Ariana.
You'll be in it. In there soon.
You think you
are. You doing Marlon Brando?
Only you think you are. That's Marlon Brando. That was my interpretation of Marlon.
That's good.
That's pretty good.
That was good.
Yeah. You can stop.
It's not even like a sentence, you know, at that point. Like, take out all of the consonants and...
It's just, yeah.
Well, you still know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I do. You know?
It's amazing.
It's like Marlon Brando deflating.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was the end of the balloon. Yeah.
Cool. What else is on your mind? Is that it?
No, that's really 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, Yeah.
That's. I think you're the first guest to have 100% is one thing, which is.
I mean, again, I could break down the format.
Sure. To umbrella it like
just
that.
Take it
people
and
are
accept
already
it.
Cutting themselves listening to this podcast. You know?
This is fascinating. I'm sure. No one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't get a lot of opera singers around these parts.
What do you guys usually get? What do you...
We even more? Yeah, believe it or not, improvisers.
Oh, believe it or not, but comedy. It's so weird. We don't know why they just all are pulled towards us.
Well, that's what I was kind of asking, too, is just, like... Because it's been a while since I've been in a situation where, like, it's a performance, but that somebody doesn't, like, remind me right before I go on, like, just have fun. Like, just be loose and, like, have fun.
Yeah.
So I'm like, opera does seem like one where it's like, oh, no, like, that's not even part of, like, just be technically perfect, you know? Like, no one would ever say before an improviser goes on stage, be technically perfect. They say, forget everything and have fun. So I was just curious, like, the difference between them.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why I use the ballet reference, because I think people have the black swan in their head, and they can relate to the trope of it, or the bastardization, or whatever, you know, of it a little bit more. And as much as, you know, there are wonderful moments, there are beautiful collaborations, you have these shimmers of, like, fuck, that's why I got into this. Those are, like, one every 6 years, you know what I mean? And you're just, like, it's not worth it. I mean, it is worth it. It is worth it. It's just right now asking me, you know, I'm just not the right person to ask. You know, I'm definitely on the out phase of it.
Yeah. I mean, you got to follow that, because if you want to dedicate your whole life to something, you better, like, really want to be the best.
Like, yeah, it's never a bad idea to, like, pause and reconsider things.
Yeah.
I think everyone should be required to do that.
You know? Exactly.
Because I think we have this idea that, like, being so good at something or being well-known for something is going to be amazing. But when you actually, like, look at what that costs in terms of your social life and, like, happiness.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people hopefully pick something that will complement the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. They'll make friends with those people. They'll, you know, maybe find a spouse in that career. Who knows, right? And you find like-minded people that are interested in progressing something forward. But I don't know if that's where...
Yeah, other opera singer. You're not like other opera singers.
I don't even mean that. That's not a compliment, you know, but it's
to you.
True.
Yeah.
You know, I really feel ostracized as an opera singer, because I know people who, they know every opera, you know. Yeah. I mean, I know the ones that I've been in.
Yeah, you don't, like, sit and listen to
They gave me a book
opera,
and
right?
said you need to memorize 250 pages of opera.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a big thing too, like having a passion for whatever you're doing outside of your own work in it.
Yeah.
It's probably
necessary.
Yeah.
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 You gotta like going to operas.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no. I like going to operas. I just, you know, there's a certain culture.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I want to progress it. And there are people out there who are doing it. They're making cool, weird, progressive, open, you know, LGBTQ friendly, operatic, like-minded people who, you know, don't have a stick up their butt, you know, but it's still, you know, you have to get to a certain place to get to them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And are you willing to go for
that? I might. I just need some time.
Yeah.
I just need a vacation. Yeah.
Do it.
That's good. Yeah. You deserve
definitely.
It.
Definitely.
Thanks, friend. Don't speak for a year.
Yeah, right? That's how I'm going to do it.
Man. Yeah.
Questions?
Yeah. Let's throw out some questions for you. So if anyone has one. What music do you listen to, like, just on your own? Like, what's on your iPod?
I was just listening to Laura Mavula, but she's an oldie but a goodie for me. I got into her, like, 3 years ago. She has an album, fuck, I don't know the name of the album, but listen to like Green Garden
or like Father. Oh, yeah. Okay. I was like, I know that name. Yeah.
Dude, she's so good. It's so simple. And that was her first album. I've listened to some of her other stuff. I like her first album the most right now, as of what she's put out. So that's what I'm listening to right now. What are you guys listening to?
No, that's not about
you. Oh, fuck.
We can answer. Sometimes we put it up to the group.
Oh, shit. I don't want to tell you the other things I've been listening to. No, I can't even think. It's okay.
Recently, I've been listening to a lot of All Hail West Texas, Mountain Goats.
Oh,
I bought it on vinyl.
The
Mountain Goats is mostly just one guy named John Darnell.
It's a goat, and they just hold him up to the microphone.
Yeah, he just bleats into it, yeah. he's a singer-songwriter, and he's been doing it for like 10 or 15 years now. And All Hail West Texas is his like first album, and it's the most like lo-fi, like he recorded it in his basement on like just him and a guitar and like a 4-track or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so cool and so like raw. I love it.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
There's a song on that album that makes me cry.
Which?
Gotta find it. Hang on.
Mm. Find it right now.
What? You go.
I just bought the Black Panther soundtrack. I'm listening to that in the car.
Isn't it so beautiful?
It's so good.
It's classical. It's fucking classical. There's some strings in there. I was like, oh, shit. Like that scene when he's like in the Sahara and there's like the sunset and it's like those strings and you're like, oh my God, there's the lemon squeeze tear just pouring out of me, you know? And just like, shit, that's nice. You know? Oh my God. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, I feel very similar.
Yeah. That's all I have to say. It's a great album.
It's called The Mess Inside.
Yeah, yep.
Can we hear it on the podcast right now?
Yeah, play a little.
I'll play a little.
Play it.
I'll play a little sound bite. Okay.
Put it to the... Beautiful.
So good.
It's so good. He just gets right to the point, like of just what's sad about this song.
Yeah.
I am homeless. And it sucks.
No, it's not that. It's like we're doomed.
One of my hot takes is that John Darnell is like, we always talk about like who's like the next great American novelist, you know, who's like the next like Steinbeck or whatever. John Darnell is, he's just not, now he is writing novels, but he was before he ever wrote a novel.
Yeah.
He was the great next American novelist. Just like his writing is so profound and so beautiful and just like direct.
He's a writer as well.
I mean, he is a songwriter and now he's released two novels that are also amazing. But yeah, even before those, he was just like, he's Hemingway. He's so good.
Yeah.
What have you been listening to, Amy Clark?
I've been listening to the album Teens of Denial.
Yeah.
Jesse Headrest. Because I was like, oh, new album. He's going on tour.
Mm-hmm.
He's not coming to LA.
What?
So, yeah. The closest he's getting is San Francisco. And I was like, maybe.
Yeah, I'd go to that. I'd go to that. San Francisco to see. Yeah.
Go
Carson Headrest. That'd be fun.
If you really loved him, you'd follow him.
All right. Test me. I'm thinking about it.
When is it? When's he going to be in San Francisco?
I don't remember. It was sometime April, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
So.
I also have to put this out there. As someone who came from one of the most liberal arts colleges as my undergrad, Bard, I feel like it is, at least. I don't know. It's very,
it definitely is.
Very fucking liberal. And every person has their own album that they've put out.
Oh my God.
So I get like,
that's amazing.
Every single day on my news feed, someone's like, hey man, check out my 46 track album we put out. You know, I just made them all this morning in the shower.
Wow.
And I'm like, damn. They're like, yeah, I added some shower sounds, you know, check it out, tell me what you think, use it as a sample. Like everybody's trying to just get like 50 cents more added to their salary. But okay, but jokes aside, though, actually, if I could throw out one more, my friend Nikki Wetherill just put out his album, and it's very similar, actually, to who? What was
Mountain Goats? The Mountain Goats.
Kind of similar to Mountain
cool.
Goats.
Nikki Wetherill.
Yeah, I think it's under Nicholas John.
Okay.
Can you open this? I will show you. It's really good. Listen to this song. He has a... I think it's on Bandcamp or something.
Oh, it's not even on Spotify.
No, fuck no. Dude.
Oh, you went to Bard. I forget.
Yeah, exactly. it's... my favorite song on it is Goldmine. So, I want to check that one out.
Great, yeah. Really. I love it.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah. Ari, what don't I know about you? What's a recent situation where you kind of just got yourself, you dug yourself into a hole socially? Like, just what's a recent awkward thing that happened to you?
Oh, no. See, I can't confidentially, like, legally discuss that, like,
what?
On a podcast. Dude, I wish I was kidding. Like, some of this shit is just insane. I have fucked up so hard so many times.
So, tell one story. Okay.
Oh, no, I can't. Please, God.
Tell a
else.
Mild one.
I can't think of mild. There's no mild. It goes straight to extra spicy. Okay, where I dug myself in a hole. Okay, can somebody do something and then I'll come back to me?
Mm. What do we...
Yeah, no. do you have one, Amy, that you thought?
Yeah.
No, this is an Ari-specific question.
I know, anyway, trying to please, for the love of God, just save me. Give me, like, 20 seconds. I'll think of something.
Okay.
I mean, let me think. This was a while ago. I don't think I've said this on the podcast, though. But one time, I was on a conference call, and, everyone on the call was going around and introducing themselves, which I thought was, like, insane. Like, but more than just, like, name and position, it was, like, they were going into, like, a little bit about themselves. Mm. And I was like, no, I don't know anyone on this call. Yeah. And so then I had, like, while they were going around the circle or whatever, I sort of prepared a thing in my head. And so it had a very, like, snappy ending. Like, that was the end of my sentence and I was done. And then... people didn't realize that I had stopped speaking. They thought the call had dropped or something. They were like, oh, I think we lost China. And then I didn't have, like, the courage to be like, no, that was the end of my thing. So I just, like, was silent for another 15 seconds.
Oh my God.
We're fucking lost.
That's so great.
Yeah, and then I was like, hello?
Oh my God, now they all know. Now they all fucking know China.
Yeah. And then they were like, oh, well, you just dropped off at, like, where you said this. I was like, oh, well, yeah, that was a
Oh my God, perfect. She's so cute. She's literally putting her hands over her mouth while she's saying that. It's so sincere. Oh my God, you knew some of this shit. Oh, fuck. Okay,
yeah, so
I've
like
got
that.
One.
That's a good
I've
example.
Got one. Okay. So I've got one on that level.
Okay, great.
I have to dig deep, though, for it. It's from 6 years ago. The last time something mildly socially awkward happened to me that wasn't, like, genuinely ending somebody's life.
Okay. We're, like, a friendship.
Okay. So when I first went to Bard, I was in a dorm, and we had, like, a group of, like, 20 people. It was, like, a little mini dorm. And we all had, like, an RA who sat us all down so we could meet each other on the first day. And he was like, okay, everybody have, like, one question, you know, that we can ask each other, you know. And, you know, I was like, I'm so ready. I'm going to be so edgy. I'm going to ask the most truthiest truth question, you know. Everybody's like, oh, fuck, like, what's your favorite album? What's your favorite color, you know. And I was like, okay, guys, who else in the room watches their poop exit their body every time they poop? And I shit you not, I have never felt more alone and silent in my life. Like, somebody's jaw actually fell off and, like, didn't try to, like, sew it back on. That was it, you know? That was the end.
That's the end of someone's life.
And it genuinely took me, like, 2 years. I defended that question for years after.
Because it's a small school, right?
Yeah. And I, like, look back on it and I was like, yeah, I could have picked, like, what's your favorite food? You know, I could have really...
But also, like, I would think of, like, something vulnerable, like, when was the last time you were in love? Like, that's an edgy, truthy question.
Yeah.
You went
no, bro. Literally watching feces exit your asshole. You
it's
know,
funny
have
that
you ever
in the
done
question
that.
You very much revealed something about yourself, too. It's like,
oh,
you
yeah.
didn't have to do that.
You didn't That's know. Why everybody yeah. was quiet, because nobody else has ever even thought of doing that, apparently. And that's why it was really helpful for me, because I got the answer from everybody immediately.
Yeah.
No, we haven't done that before. So I learned a lot about myself that day. I'm still learning.
My friend Kyle in college, we came up with it too late, so he never got a chance to do it, but he had wanted to when you go around on the first day of like some class and they tell you to like say your name and like an anecdote or something about you, he was gonna, not a true story, but he was gonna tell people, he's like, my name's Kyle, and I guess this past summer I jumped off a diving board into a pool. And there was a dog swimming underneath me, and I landed on the dog and killed it. Which is not a true story, but just like how...
Why?
Like, have that
was sad.
Yeah, because everyone else...
On the top
is...
of his head. Of like, let me just ruin everybody's day.
Yeah.
Let me put this out into the world and like just work that into existence.
I think it was trying to get, the most like shocking, like...
Unbelievable. But everybody's going to know him as the dog killer.
Yeah, that's right. You probably couldn't
after.
Claw your way back from
but
that.
But I was known as the pooper after.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
But that's pretty accurate.
It's accurate for everyone.
I just found it beautiful, you know? And it's not like I put my head.
You know what? You don't have to explain it.
Oh, God. I don't know. Can we cut this part out of the podcast?
Cut it out? No.
What? Amy's lying. China, you have the snowball.
You're on to me.
Yeah, exactly. They make you laugh? They make you cry laugh?
Yeah. I mean, I'm wiping tears away.
Are you? Okay, see, that was worth it. That was fucking worth
it.
Yeah,
you made me happy.
One tear fell, then it was all worth it.
Yeah, there you go. It stays.
Oh, God.
It's a good place to end it, probably, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Definitely.
Cool. So then, the two little minor things we do at the end. One, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Like your recital?
Nope.
Yeah,
absolutely not.
Anything at all? I guess you already plugged your friend's album. That's something.
Yeah,
if you have
I already plugged
you
your friend's
around.
Album.
Do you have an album?
That's my thing. I mean, I have compositions. I don't have anything like really recorded, but I'll let you guys know when I do.
Great.
It'll just be, 20 years in the future.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And I'll come back right now for this podcast and then just like insert myself in my body.
Perfect.
Great.
So
please cut this podcast off. Like somebody literally just pulled a plug.
Last thing, we go around. This is already probably skewed because we talk a lot about music, but we go around and say what song is stuck in our head right now.
Yeah, mine is the "Our Love Is Like the Morning Clouds" or something like that. I don't know. Like the morning dew, something like that. I can't remember it, but that's the Laura Mavula song that I'm talking about.
Great.
Does it have a title?
China finds them and puts them at the end of the...
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Like
okay,
out,
just put Green Garden. Yeah.
Okay. I'll find it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool.
Amy?
Honestly, probably The Mess Inside now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's such a good song.
Yeah.
Nice.
China?
Oh, what's that song that goes... it's all in my head. Something like that.
I literally never heard that before.
It's like on the radio.
Yeah, I think so.
Something about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's what's in my head.
That all sounds right. familiar.
Cool. And then mine's the best ever death metal band out of Denton. Same album.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you, guys.
It was a blast.
Yeah.
I just need to know how many people listen.
One.
Really?
One.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. I literally, like I told
I tried
you.
I tried to get my mom to listen, and she said, your podcast is too long.
No. Thank God. Thank
She's
God.
She's like, why don't you make it 10 minutes?
Okay. Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay, cool. Good.
All
right. Awesome.
I hear that. It was awful. That sounds.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
See you next week.
Bye.
Take me outside. Sit in the green garden. Nobody out there. But it's okay now. Bathe in the sunlight. Don't mind if rain falls. Take me outside. Sit in the green garden.